Last week on the Manifest telecast, I did a study where we talked about at death, I call that 4 seconds from eternity, a study of what happens before a person dies. Now, I'm going to do one I call The Secrets of Paradise, and I want to deal for a moment about children and miscarriages. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that at death, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. David in Psalms says this, "You knew me and you knew the parts of my body when I was curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth." David also said, "You've taught me to number my days." God said to Jeremiah in chapter 1, now this is an interesting verse, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and ordained you to be a prophet." Now, we do know that God has a foreknowledge of God. Now, there is a difference between foreknowledge and predestination. I'm not going to talk about predestination, but I want to talk about foreknowledge. That the Lord knew you before you were born or conceived in your mother's womb. The Lord ordained you for certain things in life, and you have to follow His will to do those. But there is a mystery to the spirit. You are in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, a body, a soul, and a spirit. You know what the body is. It's the flesh part that the book of Genesis says, from dust you came, to dust you shall return. This body you're looking at, should it go into a grave over time, is processed, and death causes the body to go back to the dust. Now, if you're a soul and a spirit, the soul is connected to the intellect and the will and the mind. The brain helps control the 5 senses of hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, and touching. But the soulish man, the soul, can either be spiritual or carnal. In other words, let me say it this way. The soul is like the heart of the spirit man. Now, the spirit, if it came out of your body, would look exactly like you. Someone asked me one time, they say, "I'm a very heavy person. When I die, will I be skinny?" I said, "I don't know, but I think everybody I know hopes so." But the reason I say it looks like you, if you were a member on the Mount of Transfiguration, you had Moses and you had Elijah. And here's what's interesting. Peter knew it was Moses and Elijah, but he never saw a picture of them. So by revelation of the Holy Spirit, now watch what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, we will be known even as we were known. Now, this is how we know that even though we pass away, and let's just say, if Jesus did not come for another 100 years, since I'm about 59 years of age, 50 or 59 years of age, depending on when you're watching this, then I won't be here and Pam won't be here, but I will know Pam, that she was my wife in heaven. Now, there's no marriage nor given in marriage in heaven. Lord have mercy. Do you remember the Sadducees came to Jesus and said, a woman gets married, he dies. Married and died, married and died, married and the husband dies. Lord, 7 dead husbands. I wouldn't touch that woman, brother. I'm going to tell you something. Because everybody she marries dies. Okay? That was a joke. And in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? And Jesus said, don't you understand, in heaven, they're not married nor given in marriage, okay? So that's a point to make. But you will know your family in heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you some stories real quick, and we're going to get into the thing about the children in just a moment. Barton Green is a friend of mine who is a very famous writer. He's written for most ministers. He helped do movies for TBN. Barton had a heart attack. And Barton says, I don't know if I died to the point where my spirit left my body, but that appears to be what happened. He had a grandfather in the Church of God named G.W. Lane that was a very famous preacher. And G.W. Lane always was in a suit and tie. He loves suit and ties. He's always in a suit and tie. When Barton leaves his body, he goes into a fog. He sees a light in the distance, and as he walks through the fog, he sees the outline of what appears to be 2 men, and one of them is talking with his hands. As he gets closer, out of the fog steps his grandfather, G.W. Lane, who had been dead for many years, and he said he looked like he was in his 30s. Looked very handsome. And he had a looked like a beautiful tailored three-piece suit on. Well, Brother Stone, I thought we wore robes in heaven. We get robes in heaven, but wait a minute. Just hang with me. Robes is what they wore in the Roman time. Robes is what they wore in Jesus' day. Robes is what they wore in the Greek time. We dress different today. I don't want to tell you about after 9/11, a vision I had of my dad, and I saw people who had died on 9/11. And anyway, that's another story. I'm going to get so sidetracked, I got to stay on subject. Now, G.W. Lane says to Barton, "Barton, I want to talk to you." And he starts telling Barton, "I know, because we get information in heaven, there's five things you haven't done, so you've got to go back to earth." And Barton said, "Since I have been back, I have started doing all five of those things my grandfather said that God told him I would do." But here's where it gets heavy. After he talks to him, G.W. turns and says, "Now I've got to go back." And Barton takes a step and he said, "Barton, look at me. I told you, you can't come where I am yet. You will one day," because he's in paradise. G.W. Lane has died. His soul and spirit's left his body. 2 Corinthians 12, he's in paradise. Even though G.W. Lane's body's in the ground. See, a lot of people teach soul sleep, you know, that at death the soul and spirit sleeps in the body, because Paul uses the term, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." But sleep was an early church metaphor and a metaphor in the Greek time to describe death, because when a person dies, they look like they're sleeping. So even Jesus said, you know, when the little girl was dead, he said, "She's not dead, but she's sleeping." And they laughed at him. Okay. So the point is, the soul and spirit does not sleep where it is. It goes to be with the Lord, or if it's a, if they're sinners, they go into hell. Read Luke 16. It is not a parable where the rich man died and the beggar died. Now someone says, "Wait a minute, the righteous man Lazarus was in the heart of the earth." Yes, but at the crucifixion, Jesus took the souls and spirits of the righteous people out and now took them to heaven. You don't go down under the earth now as a believer when you die. If you die in Christ, angels release the spirit and soul out of your body, your death, and they take you immediately to the presence of God. And there you wait in paradise. So, track with me here for just a few moments. Going back to G.W. Lane. So Barton made a second attempt to move forward and was stopped again. And G.W. said, "Barton, listen to me. If you cross a certain threshold, you will not go back. You'll stay here. You go back." And then G.W. says this. You're going to love this. He said, "There's one more thing I need to tell you." He said, "I feel like I need to let you know this." He says, "Barton, your son is very proud of you." And then Barton says, "I came back into my body." And he said, "Perry, everything that happened to me was not an hallucination. It was not a figment of my imagination. It happened. But it threw me off when he said, 'I have a son,' because I was married and divorced and never had a son." He said, "A girl never got pregnant with me." He said, "It's not that." Then I remembered, when I was married, my wife got pregnant and had a miscarriage. And he said it was a boy. And he said, "Oh my goodness, the boy that my wife miscarried is with the Lord." Now, the spirit of a baby enters the baby at the moment of conception. This is why abortion is wrong. Some politicians believe, who are Christians, that the soul and spirit gets into the baby at 6 months and that the blood in the body is connected to the soul and the spirit. But the life of the flesh is the blood. The blood is not the life of the soul and spirit, because the soul and spirit doesn't have to have blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. The soul and the spirit is connected to the spirit realm and not the physical realm. Y'all tracking with me? Yes. Former presidents, not the president now, Donald Trump, but former presidents used to believe that the soul and spirit does not come into the baby till the umbilical cord is cut, And that's why a former president years ago accepted partial birth abortion. Because he met some people that said it's only flesh until the cord is cut and then it breathes on its own. That's the soul and spirit. That is not true. In the Bible, the holy thing which is born of you shall be called the Son of God. The name of the baby is given four places in the Bible. The name of the sex, which is, it was going to be a son, is given in the Bible. And the woman is called mother when the infant is not more than 2 weeks conceived. Now, point being, the reason a miscarried baby has a spirit is because it comes the moment of conception. Do you know how many times a man and woman, husband and wife, gets together, consummates, and they can't have children? Then all of a sudden, at one point, after years, they consummate, no birth control. They consummate after years, and all of a sudden, a child is born. What was the difference? Ready? The difference was, and I had a lady, I wish she'd have got me this article, but I had a nurse that was studying years ago, and she said, when they do the test tube with the egg and the sperm, they know it works because a light burst happens. The spirit force, the spirit, the eternal spirit just hit the egg and the sperm. All right? Then, as the infant grows physically, the spirit and soul will grow physically. So, Margarita Davis, long time ago, was dying in a bed and went and saw an infant paradise. And all these little babies that had died and infants miscarried, it was like a nursery in heaven, and each one had an angel watching over them. And they would grow like they would on earth. They would grow to a certain size, and they would be released to another level of paradise. And they would teach them about the stories of Jesus and about who he was and what he did. Then they go to a children's paradise. Now, my wife's best friend was Tracy Davis years ago. She's got many friends now, but Tracy Davis. Tracy was this really cute little short Italian girl, and she was getting ready to move to Cleveland because when Pam found out she's going to have a baby, which was Jonathan, Tracy said, I'm going to be the lifelong babysitter of your family. Sweetest girl you ever met in your life. She's killed in a wreck in Birmingham, Alabama, and this was years later. I'm going fishing in Baton Rouge. And I go to this hotel late. I'm sorry, I said Baton Rouge. We were going from Baton Rouge to the coast to fish. We got in real early in the morning, like must have been 1 o'clock at night, to the hotel. I'm exhausted. And when I get completely exhausted, it's when I see things by the Spirit of God. I don't understand that, but that happens. I went out in the Spirit and I went to paradise. I've only seen it one time. The cities of paradise are made based on the time frame you lived in. Everybody that lived in Jesus' day, all of paradise looks like the Roman Empire. Columns. I mean, like this here. It's most beautiful. And they even look and dress in outfits from that time frame. And they all stay in that same time. I'm not saying they stay. They can cross over. I saw cities that look, don't laugh at me when I tell you this. I saw cities made of emerald, where every building was an emerald and they looked like skyscrapers. And I said, Lord, why are they this way? He said, because the people who lived in cities, who are believers that love cities, get to live in a city in paradise. They get to have cities. So I see a man whose name was Clyde Whitmire. I hadn't seen him in years, got saved from a ministry. And he's saying, Perry, look at me. Look at me. I'm not crippled anymore. Look at my leg. He was jumping around. Can I tell you this? I didn't know he died a few years ago from the time I had that. I didn't know he was dead. I saw his spirit in paradise. So then God says, let me show you where the children are. And I hear this voice, but I don't see angels, but I hear the voice. I'm transferred into this, and this is so cool. There's a beautiful mountain, and God has made these kids their own little houses. And they're kids' houses. They're not like an adult. They're like you ever seen a tree house? All these kids have these homes, I would say, 15 feet long, 8 to 10 feet deep, and they get to stay in these houses. All the kids are together. And they're just one after, and they're just like perfected. And they reminded me of the homes I saw in Italy and Romania, but they're kids' homes, just like something a kid would play in. They're all over the place. So then I go in and I hear this singing. I hear kids singing. This is the coolest thing. So I step into this arena, and there are hundreds of kids, and there's Tracy leading them. So when I came out of this, man, you talk about, you try to fish after you've had that. You're like, my Jesus. And I said, why did I see this? And the Lord dealt with me in my spirit, said, tell Tracy's mom and sister what you saw. Well, I did find out when I got back that Dalton, Georgia, that Claude Whitmire had died about a year or two before I ever had this, and I didn't know he had died. I say to Tracy's mom, I was preaching in Asheville, Alabama, I said to Tracy's mom, I saw Tracy. I do not know what she liked to do on earth because we just basically knew her by her coming to the meetings and hanging with Pam. But I saw her with children, and her sister says, oh, my Lord, that's what she always wanted to do was work with children. I said, are you kidding me? No. Children's church, children, all she talked about was helping children. So here's the point I want to make about people who depart this life. We think that when a person has passed away, there are people, and I have some really good friends that believe this teaching, and I don't argue with them, but they believe that the soul and spirit is sleeping in that body, and wherever they bury it, that's where the body will be. And then at the resurrection, we call it the rapture, the resurrection, the soul and spirit will rise from the grave. Then what about that verse in 1 Thessalonians 4 that says, those who are dead in Christ, I'm paraphrasing it, will the Lord bring with him when he returns? Bring with him. Then the dead in Christ shall rise first. The body, a new body, a resurrected body, has to meet with soul and spirit. But the soul and spirit comes out of paradise, 2 Corinthians 12, to meet with the body at the resurrection. Okay, so I hope you're I keep saying this on this one. I hope you're tracking with me. All right, so we have that issue there. So right now, if you have a mother, dad, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, whatever, a family member that has gone to be with the Lord, they're not in the grave. That's why we go, look, my mama's side is Italian. I have kissing cousins. Anybody know what I'm talking about? No, I have the greatest family. I love my mama's side of the family. I love my daddy's side too, but my mom's side of the family is all Italian. This is really funny. So I go to a funeral of one of granddad's relatives. All the Italians, we're all in there. Hey, hallelujah. Everybody's, you know, they're hugging people. You're going to get kissed and hugged 50 times by 20 people. They do it three times, okay? Hug you three times. I love it. So I walked up to granddad. I said, well, there they are. I said, the shell's there, but the nut's gone. He started laughing. He said, what? Now explain that one. I said, the soul and spirit is in the body, so they're gone, but the shell is still here. So when you go into the funeral home of a believer where that's passed away, this is why people, we grieve for a period of time. We are sorrowful of losing our loved ones. But I can tell you something. When I lost my granddad, I cried one time, but it's hard to cry when you know they're still there. Not in the body. Come on. Amen. They are more alive now than they were in the body because they're with the Lord. And then you have the hope we're going to all be together again, right? So when my daddy died, I could hardly cry because my dad, before he died, I said, Dad, you know you're going. Yes, son, I'm going to go before long. I said, what do you think death's going to be like? And he just thought, we were in a car, he was getting out of the car. He said, I believe it'll be glorious. So how can I weep as though we weep as those who have no hope? For we believe that if Christ raised from the dead, the loved ones that we have will raise from the dead. And so what I'm saying to you is I want to encourage those of you who know the Lord that when someone passes who knows the Lord, it's okay to have sorrow, but don't get into grief because grief is a spirit. And if you ever start grieving, you can get into a grieving cycle that you can't function. You can't do anything. You can't cook. You can't go out with people because you're in such grief. The Jews have a grieving process of 7 days, and then they release that grief out. And every year they have a little memorial where they remember that person. But their idea is this. If you believe in the resurrection, you should not live in grief of the departing of a loved one because the resurrection brings them back out of the grave again. Several years ago, my wife had a miscarriage. And I won't go into the whole story, but I had a dream. I had two dreams years ago. You've heard me tell this one time on Manifest at a conference. I saw two little girls. And now this is 1988, 89, somewhere in there. One girl, I said, "What's your name?" And she says, "My name is Amanda." I said, "Who are you?" She said, "I'm the little girl you're going to have." We had no kids. "Who's this?" And she says, "This is Rochelle, my sister." Now, Rochelle was tiny, hugging a stuffed animal, and I could tell something was wrong with her. I could tell by the look, I don't know if it was Down syndrome, I don't know what it was, but I knew she was deaf and couldn't talk, and I thought, "Oh my Lord, I have a little girl that can't talk and can't hear. Oh my." I dreamed of them twice. When Pam had the miscarriage, we believe it was Rochelle, because she got pregnant again, and guess who was born? Amanda. And she was that little prissy girl I saw. I'm not kidding. Okay. Pam asked the Lord one day, "Lord, Perry saw two girls, but why did Rochelle go?" And the Lord said, "Would you wanted me to bring her to earth in that condition when you have to take care of the ministry, you have to take care of Perry, and you're homeschooling your daughter?" And God said, "I saw in the future that the stress on you would have been too much to run a worldwide ministry." But years later, a woman did not know the story from California. She didn't know this. She writes me a letter and says, "Dear Perry and Pam, I don't know if Pam ever had a miscarriage, but my son died and the Lord let me see him in paradise. And I met a black-haired girl that looked like she was about 5 or 6 years old. And I said, 'Who are you?' She says, 'I'm Perry and Pam Stone's daughter.'" The woman never heard the story, never knew Pam had a miscarriage. And he said, she said, "She looks a lot like Pam and she's a genius." I said, "She got that from her daddy, all right?" She got that from her. So listen to me. If you've lost a baby, if you've lost a child, they're with the Lord. Mama, if you're not saved, you're never going to see that baby again. You're only going to see that child. And those children grow up in paradise, okay? They grow up to be a certain age. I had a story I was going to tell. I'm running out of time again. But please serve the Lord, because the best is yet to come for the children of God. We're going to come to this city one day and rule and reign with Christ. Now, I've spent two programs talking about the secrets beyond the grave, or the secrets of eternity, or life. This is a subject I have loved since I was a teenager, and I hope some of the things we share with you will help you and be a blessing to you and encourage you, especially if you've lost a family member. Please stay tuned for a very special offer that we have, and if you want to contact our office, they'll tell you how to get material on the subject I'm preaching on if you want more material on that subject. All right, we'll be back in just a minute. Again, the city of Jerusalem, it's a beautiful day. Let's give God the glory. Amen.
Red Hawk County 911, where's your emergency?
There is a horse trailer and a dually just hit an SUV, drove it all the way across the road.
Okay, yeah, if you could get, just find out if there's any injuries or entrapment.
There's entrapment, I can tell you that right now.
It was 10 o'clock Saturday morning when I FaceTimed my precious second cousin and very dear friend, telling her about my daughter Amanda preparing to trade in her old vehicle for a new one. I did not know it would be my last conversation with my cousin on the earth. Hours later, I received a call that she'd been killed in an intersection in Elkins, West Virginia. For months, I experienced very intense sorrow while wrestling with so many unanswered questions. Why did God allow a 63-year-old woman, a caregiver with so many future plans, to die so suddenly and without warning? For 3 months, I pored over Scripture almost day and night for answers. Out of my research and personal grief, I wrote this 209-page book called Why Did You Leave Us So Soon? The Mystery of a Premature Death, to answer my questions and also questions you have asked me over the years. Here's a few chapter titles. There's a time to die and a time not to die. The danger of being with the wrong people at the wrong place at the wrong time. Why are some healed and others are not? Why did one person die yet another person survived the same accident? How does a person break a protective hedge? How Christians can commit a sin unto death? Why do infants suddenly pass away? Does God honor a deathbed repentance? Here's a few more. How sinning Christians can be delivered to the will of Satan. The danger of offending your angel. Suicide and questions about eternity. Why are many Christians sick, weak, and many have died young? Why at times when you need an answer does God seem to say nothing? That's only 12 of the 22 chapters in the book. I want to say this, if you've ever lost a loved one to death and you had many unanswered questions, I hope you will order this book. It answers numerous confusing questions about the mystery of why people seem to die before their time. It will also teach you the biblical principles of learning how to discern coming danger and pray against it. That's a very important part of this book as well. When you order this new book, I'm including a very powerful audio CD that my dad said to me before he passed away. Perry, let people hear this. It's one of the most important messages I've ever heard. Don't go to hell over a mystery. You can call 1-888-21-BREAD or order online at perrystone.org or request offer WWS-146 and include $30 by writing Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Again, that's offer WWS-146. You may not need this book now, but you may need it in the future. I hope you'll order it today. Greetings, everyone. Now, this will be your final week on Manifest to get this special offer. Don't forget, you get the book. You also receive Don't Go to Hell Over a Mystery, a great teaching that the Lord gave me years ago. You will get a password to go to a special video that you can view that deals with a very important message on 60 seconds left to live. It's very soul-stirring, and my goal of getting this into your hands is to help you heal, to help the wounds, to help the questions you've had about premature death, but also, hopefully, that your unsaved family members will listen to this or read the book, and God will stir them to salvation. That's my ultimate goal, is to see your family come to the Lord. We have some great conferences coming up in 2025, and you're going to see those advertised, and we want you to come and participate in these great meetings. Let's give God the glory for what He's done.
America's premier international prophetic summit is coming in 2025. Come be a part of this dynamic conference April 23rd through 27th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Jonathan Kahn, Mario Murillo, Bill Cloud, Mark Biltz, John Kilpatrick, Joseph C., and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Mark your calendars for April 23rd through 27th and register today. Visit perrystone.org for more information.